edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. We are so, so blessed and so fortunate to have with us Matt Bracken. Joe, go ahead and, go ahead.
Yeah, Matt Bracken is our guest. His website is enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. Folks, go there, bookmark his site. There you can find his books, Domestic Enemies, Foreign Enemies and Traitors, Enemies Foreign and Domestic.
I will say this. He was born in Baltimore, Maryland, back in 1957. We're not too far in age. And he graduated from the University of Virginia in 79 with a degree in Russian studies. He was commissioned in the U.S. Navy through the NROTC program at UVA, and then graduated from basic underwater demolition / SEAL training class 105 in Coronado, California. I'm amazed at how many people claim they're SEALs, and you know, anyway, but class 105, Matt Bracken. He served on the East Coast UDT and SEAL teams, and taking a Naval Special Warfare Detachment to Beirut in 1983. Now, that's where my wife and I honeymooned back in 83.
In Beirut,
yeah. No, I'm kidding, of course. He left active duty after Lebanon upon completion of his obligated military service, but remained in active reserve status through the remainder of the 80s. This man's got a resume that would just, I mean, folks, the real deal. And as you said, his website.
Yeah, enemiesforeignanddomestic.com, enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. And again, you can buy his books there, and I like the subtitle, Bleeding Edge Dystopian Thrillers for Readers Who Are Tired of Politically Correct Fiction.
That's right. Mr. Bracken, welcome to the Hagmann Report, sir.
Thanks. Since you mentioned SEALs there, I just saw on Fox a little while ago, they're giving airtime to Rob O'Neill, and the man's on the SEAL Team 6 Rock of Shame. He's not welcome at SEAL reunions. He's considered somebody who's been like branded, you know, break the sword, kick him out.
Wow.
Yeah, he's not a good guy. He's not the man that shot bin Laden. He shot the dead corpse of bin Laden after, you know, arriving at the scene when they were supposed to preserve the remains for photographic proof, and et cetera. And he just had to get his little glory hound thing in there so he could run out and write a book.
Really?
So, yeah.
All right. And you know, I know that SEAL team members stick together. And so, what's this guy's name on Fox? Tell me again.
O'Neill. Now, there are other SEALs that appear as guests on Fox.
Right.
I just saw they were going to have him on just as, you know, like a, I don't know, talk about terrorism or bin Laden or something. He had to give up all of his earnings from the first book. The government went after him for, you know, violating the terms of his separation in terms of, you know, you sign away your life and not divulging secrets.
Right.
So the government actually went after him. So he's got to write another book, I guess, to make some money. But so he's out on the hustings promoting his book. But he's somebody that can't, you know, and he's also a motivational speaker, a paid speaker. But among SEALs, he's considered persona non grata.
Understood.
Just thought I'd throw that out.
Is somewhat squandered valor in that sense, right?
Right. He was not the man who killed bin Laden. He's a man who put bullets into bin Laden's head dead on the ground. That's why they didn't have the pictures. So that he could then claim, as he, you know, I guess he had the plan all along to get out and write the book.
Nice.
And so it's my era of SEALs is a long time in the past, and you know, the numbers have gone way up, and some would say that what they now call the SEAL ethos is you know, regularly being violated by you know, people that are just basically cashing in on it. I mean, on my website I don't have SEAL tridents all over the place, things like that. I went to college, the Navy paid for college, I owed the Navy time, and I was a Navy SEAL officer just you know, in my youth. I was not career, and you know, I didn't fight in Iraq or Afghanistan. So, you know, all glory and honor to the lowest, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, stand in checkpoint duty somewhere in godforsaken Afghanistan. You know, that. But in my era of SEALs, were actually pretty sick of the over-glorification. It's like 180 degrees out from the era that we were in when we were, we called ourselves the silent option, you know, men with green faces. We were supposed to, you know, not go out doing the self-promotion thing.
Sure.
In fact,
sure.
In fact, there were no books about Vietnam era SEALs before my time. The SEALs that were my trainers and instructors were all Vietnam era. They didn't write books. You know, a lot of the tactics that that the SEALs use are extremely easy to counter if you know what they are. You know, they're not some kind of magic cloak of invisibility. And if you bust these tactics, writing books, making movies, you're just lining up, you know, SEALs down the road to get picked off.
Mm.
So, you know, the in the old days, we really frowned on people that did it. Now everybody's doing it. But, you know, it's part of my biography, but it's not who I am, you know, and I don't make out that I'm some kind of super SEAL by any means. And I know a lot of super SEALs that nobody will ever know, and they'll never write books. They'll never be on TV. They're what we call the real deal SEALs. And, you know, all honor to those guys. For them, since 9/11, it's been, you know, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam all rolled together. They've been in operations. Their op tempo has been unbelievable for the last 15 years. It's terrible for families, if you can imagine. A lot of guys suffering post-traumatic stress, also brain injuries, things like that. And just, you know, just so much combat, so much deployment. You know, you think about World War II, most of Marines in the Pacific, maybe they fought for a couple months, and it was hell, believe me. You know, Peleliu, Tarawa, Saipan, you know, Okinawa, Iwo Jima, or from Normandy to Germany. But you're still talking months, not years. And the special ops guys, not just the SEALs, but the special ops guys, Rangers, Air Force units, Army units, Special Forces, they've been just deployed constantly for 15 years. And it's not the rest of the military so much, but the special operations guys, it's been brutal. And I don't know that this country really understands how brutal it's been. It's been 15 years of nonstop war for these guys.
Right.
I'm just a guy who was a SEAL as a young man, and not career, not combat. So I want to, you know, give the honor to the guys that deserve it, if not me.
If we can talk on the war, we're mentioning the ongoing wars in Afghanistan. There's an article today. The U.S. spent $8.5 billion fighting narcotics here at home, while Afghanistan sets new opium record. We hear a lot about the soldiers that are protecting opium fields and the increased production of the opium in Afghanistan since the 10-year low or before the war in Afghanistan started. It's been increasing every year. What are some of the sentiments of other soldiers that you've heard? How do the people feel who are combat veterans about our mission in Afghanistan?
It's a waste. It's the lesson of Afghanistan is don't go to Afghanistan. Yeah. You know, Alexander the Great, the British, the Russians, now the Americans. For, number one, you know, what's it worth? Other than not giving them sanctuary like Bin Laden. You know, sure, chase them with predator drones and things like that, but to actually try to fix that country, it's unfixable. Mm. I think that right now, you know, these numbers were all pulled out of people's rear ends, but, you know, at least 2/3 of the country is under Taliban control today. And the third that is supposedly under our control, it's being run by the most corrupt bunch of, you know, warlord pedophiles that you can imagine in your worst nightmare, and those are our allies. So, you know, but anybody who's lost a son in Afghanistan, I really feel sorry for them, or anybody that lost a limb in Afghanistan, or lost, you know, their full brain function in Afghanistan. It's something that people don't maybe realize. You know, when a bomb goes off, and you know, the guys on the vehicle right on top of it, maybe they're all killed, and the guys two or three vehicles away, or their bell is rung, but the ethos is to play hurt, you know, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. And, you know, and these guys aren't okay. And some of their consequences might not show up for years later at home when either they have severe personality shifts, which make their families suffer and themselves suffer, you know, or they, you know, develop like Parkinson type tremors or loss of balance, lack of ability to focus. And these are guys that may or may not have even gotten a Purple Heart out of it, because at the time after the bomb went off, you know, they were just out on a perimeter holding a gun, and shaking it off, but you never really shake it off. And to think about the blood and treasure, not, I guess you have to factor in the treasure, all the vehicles we took over there that are not going to come home and so forth. All the squandered millions and billions paying warlords and pedophiles. But, to me, that it wasn't worth one single American life, other than stopping it from being a sanctuary.
Exactly. Okay. And I do understand that. And this is kind of off script. Not that there was a script, but kind of out of left field here. We're getting, some emails, about this. And we've had family members from Extortion 17 on our program. Mr. Bracken, can you give us your take on what happened with SEAL Team 6 and that shootdown of, Extortion 17? Do you feel comfortable doing that?
Sure. I don't have any classified information, so I don't know any more than anybody emailing you, honestly. And the people that are emailing you, if they had family, they probably can educate me, honestly.
Okay.
But I would say one thing. One of the things that I saw after that was, what was the relative value of sending these, you know, strategic assets, SEAL Team 6, to save some, you know, knucklehead, Rangers? And that just made me so mad, because, going back earlier in Afghanistan, you know, that there was a SEAL that got knocked out of a helicopter doing like a pinnacle landing, a CH-47 Chinook, you know, came in for a pass, and a young, Navy petty officer, fell out. The Chinook had to, you know, fly off. It got damaged. They couldn't get back to him. Rangers died trying to get that guy, assaulting up a hill. Another Chinook loaded with SEALs crashed on the way in. The Rangers Chinook crashed low down the mountain, and Rangers died in the crash and in the fight afterwards. And from now until there are no more Rangers and no more SEALs, when Americans are in peril somewhere, they're going to go. And it doesn't matter if it's SEAL Team 6, Rangers, either way. So the fact that, you know, SEAL Team 6 was being used to go bail out some Rangers, absolutely all respect and honor to them. Now, whether or not the rules of engagement were so restrictive that they couldn't do adequate preparation, that meaning that, you know, they went into a place where they were susceptible to being shot down, you know, because they couldn't, you know, get out the, you know, the Spectre gunships and the Gatling guns and so forth to suppress fire. That's very worrisome. I'm glad now, at least under President Trump, it seems like the rules of engagement have been, modified in the favor of the war fighters, and the JAG weenies, you know, have been, their influence has been curtailed. It seems to be the fast track to, success as a military lawyer is to put Americans in prison. And it makes me really mad. And it makes me really mad that any, you know, that SEAL Team 6 died on the extortion flight, if they weren't, you know, if it was because they didn't have, the ability to suppress the fire going in.
Understood. Okay.
Wow. And we know the rules of engagement, as you said, have been changed to, you know, restrict the U.S. soldier on the battlefield, and it's a real shame that people have been injured and even have perished over these restricted rules. Mr. Bracken.
Yeah, especially when they trade American lives, you know, for political correctness, like in Benghazi and, you know, hundreds of times in Iraq and Afghanistan, where, you know, EOD guys are going out and using their bodies, you know, to clear ordnance instead of, you know, using bigger ordnance to clear it, because they don't want to, you know, wake somebody up down the valley. And, you know, to use American lives in that way is just so disrespectful. I think Benghazi being like the ultimate example of that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Well, Mr. Bracken, Thanks for joining us. It's May 1st, May Day, 2017. Of course, the celebration of communism across the globe. We've got that to talk about. We've got the various offshoots of that, and of course, we've got the situation with North Korea. Where do you want to start? Because, I mean, you've got a lot of information. So where do you want to start first?
Well, it is May Day, so I guess just topically, it's unbelievable that in America, it's wide, you know, we're taking down Civil War monuments and demolishing them. At the same time, there seems to be some kind of a whitewash of communism. You know, just give us one more chance. This time, you know, we won't have to kill millions of people. Not that kids would even know that millions of people were killed by communism, enslaved by communism. Mm-hmm. And now it's being trotted out as like this World Workers' Day. It's the communist 4th of July. You know, at least 100 million people were killed in the 20th century. 70 million alone in China, 20 million at least in Russia. You know, in each country, millions more. And it's just being whitewashed. So it's disgusting, but I guess you would have to say that the people watching your program probably have heard of, you know, like the Italian communist Antonio Gramsci, the Frankfurt School, which came over to America and Columbia University, the British group, forget the name, anyway, that they won. They Gramsci articulated, I think, I don't know if he used these exact words, but he basically said Lenin isn't going to work. Lenin and Stalin, that's not going to work because the Western nations, they're still too patriotic and religious. We have to first poison the roots. You know, we have to go inside of the institutions and rot them and hollow them out and poison the roots from within. And then this Western structures will just fall over. And he was exactly right. And now we're seeing that Gramscian long-range strategy play out. Where I would say 90% of outside of the sciences, if you take a history course, an English course, anything in college now, it's basically just a vehicle for teaching cultural Marxism, which is, you know, hatred of America, hatred of patriotism, you know, hatred of Western civilization, you know, a hatred of anything to do with, you know, with European advances. And a glorification of communism. And that's where we are today. That's why we have, you know, these guys, these Antifa, mm-hmm. it's actually pronounced mm-hmm. Antifa, but I guess in the States, Antifa. But, mm-hmm. You know, that's why you can have guys running around wearing black masks. They've obviously been brainwashed in college, and now we're witnessing the fruit of it. And as far as I'm concerned, it's going to lead to a civil war, for sure. It's just a matter of when.
I saw a great comment on the internet today. It said, when people think of humanity's greatest evils, why is communism rarely mentioned? After all, it's caused more suffering than any other ideology, including Nazism, which the Antifa is, you know,
they embrace it and they promote it.
And then I saw another person comment, you know, why isn't communism hated as much as Nazis? Because communists control education, they control the entertainment industry, and they control the writing of history.
Yep.
And
it's so rare.
Yeah.
It's so rare to see any movie where, you know, the communist butchers and torturers are the villains. They'll do backflips to avoid making Muslims into terrorists. You know, there was a Tom Clancy movie where they literally changed the Muslim terrorists to, like, you know, Russian neo-Nazi white skinheads. You know, you know, they'll find some, like, Odessa group in South Africa hiding out, plotting the Fourth Reich. But they completely gloss over at least 100 million murdered, you know, under the hammer and sickle. Because they do. They always had a sympathetic audience in Hollywood and in journalism to this day. And it's disgusting, but...
Exactly. One of my favorite authors is M. Stanton Evans. God rest the, you know, may rest in peace, but Blacklisted by History, it was really a treatise about Senator Joe McCarthy. McCarthy was right. The communist infiltration post-World War II in this country was unmistakable, and certainly you couldn't argue about it. And it's only grown from there, in my view.
The difference is, thank God, now the left doesn't control the media narrative. You know, when in Vietnam, just as an example, Peter Arnett was at the time UPI or AP reporter, but he went on to CNN and other things. The famous quote attributed to some, you know, Colonel Schmucky, you know, Colonel so and so was, "We had to destroy the village in order to save it." That was treated as gospel. Peter Arnett, famous journalist, he talked to a colonel. The colonel told him it's true. And that gets into the history books. That's a meme, a soundbite forever. And people that later went in and did the actual research, what unit, what colonel, who, what village, never happened, totally made up. And that's how the media did it, from Joe McCarthy through Vietnam, you know, through John Kerry with the medals at the White House. All of that was lies and a false narrative successfully perpetrated by the left-wing media. It didn't change. I would say one of the first that comes to my mind is the George W. Bush memo gate, where Dan Rather was trying it again. You know, we're going to make up a story. We control the narrative. We'll be able to write the history book, you know, that we've got this memo. And it wasn't until the internet came along and the predecessors of what I guess today would be like Reddit and 4chan. I was on Free Republic at the time, and within, you know, hours of that CBS report, people were comparing their own or putting together pieces of the puzzle from their own expertise. You know, people that had computer knowledge were saying it's impossible. There was no proportional font spacing in the world. Nobody had it at the time that fake memo was produced. It was made on a, you know, the default settings of Microsoft Word. How did that happen? Well, the reason I'm bringing up all this history is the left-wing media used to get away with those lies. The father of lies at the time in the 60s was called the most trusted man in America, Walter Cronkite. He signed off saying, and that's the way it is. And it wasn't until he retired from being a newsman that he admitted that he had been a senior official and one-time president of what at various times was called the World Federalist Society, and that from the time he was in college and a reporter in the Second World War, he was always sympathetic to communism and globalism, and that his mandate was to shift the minds of Americans in secret. The most trusted man in America was essentially a globalist traitor and liar, and he got away with it. He retired with great honor. It wasn't until Dan Rather and Memogate blew up, and now we've got, and the reason I mentioned that, now we have the alternate media. I mean, we have had Fox for a while, which might be going away as what it was. So, you know, I'm wondering who's going to be on the new network, who's going to leave Fox. But, I mean, at least we have things like Breitbart and other alternate, you know, Drudge, Breitbart, etc., because they can't get away with the lies anymore. I mean, they can still put it out to a segment of the population. There are still people that only watch MSNBC and CNN, so they're guaranteed to have people in an insulated bubble that will swallow the same old leftist lies, but it's not enough anymore. So whereas we got rolled from McCarthy through the 50s, through Vietnam, we were rolled by leftist liars in the liar media, the liar press, it doesn't happen that way anymore. And now, unless they somehow could throttle the internet, and Hillary lost, so I don't think that's going to happen soon, at least we're going to have a second narrative, you know, a true narrative from my point of view, which to me only assures one thing: there will be a civil war in this country. Is the leftists are like Dracula. Communists are like Dracula. You know, you need silver bullets, holy water, a stake through the heart, and they still come out of that coffin, you know, two generations later on. There's another herd of kids raised, never taught anything about communism, and all they hear is, oh, we're going to take it from the rich people and give it to the poor people. Yay! They don't understand this is a fabric, that a tapestry that goes at least back to the French Revolution. At least. Yeah, and it's never really gone away. It's the same people the same ideology, I would say, rather. You know, there's that thread in history. And when communism is extremely brutal and everybody hates it, it just goes underground for a while, comes up with a new name, progressive, globalist, what have you, and it returns like Dracula all over again. You never can put this monster down. Unfortunately, our side doesn't really, you know, go for the jugular. The Republicans are so lame in Congress. When they have these guys down, they don't put the stake through the heart. I don't think they ever will.
And it's exactly what we need to do. Matt Bracken, a true American patriot, is, as far as I'm concerned, an American hero as well. At least in my book, Matt Bracken is just a fantastic man. He's a great writer. His books and website, Joe.
Yeah, we're coming up against the break. The website for Matt Bracken is enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. That's enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. For those of you watching on YouTube, his books are up there from his website, and you can see those books, The Enemies Foreign and Domestic, Domestic Enemies, and Foreign Enemies and Traitors. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk with Mr. Bracken about a number of issues from the suppression of free speech. We're going to get back into the alternative and mainstream media, as we were just talking about before this break. We're going to talk about North Korea. We're going to get into Syria, and how much more we will be able to get into, we will see based on what we're able to cover. So don't go anywhere.
Buckle up.
Matt Bracken will be with us when we return.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is, it'll blow you away. Absolutely. Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Trang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changepersonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman & Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Hagman and the Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com. Go there for news, information, analysis. HomelandSecurityUS.com. Rising up again. We're putting a lot of our investigative results on that, investigative reports on that, or we're lining up to, I should say. Don't forget, we've got covert investigative teams that are going out, infiltrating some of the very groups we're talking about, as well as doing other things that we'll report later on. Absolutely. Just some great people out there working and volunteering their time and making a difference. A lot of information coming our way and soon to be coming your way. Our guest is Matt Bracken. Before we get to Matt, I want to mention that Bill McIntosh from Akasa Media has been such a great asset to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Such a great guy. Do you need a fascinating speaker? Are you perhaps listening? Are you a pastor, maybe a minister, or maybe someone in charge of arranging a speaker for your next conference, dinner, banquet, or church event? If you are, if that's you, check out Akasa Media for speakers like remember Abe Bolden we had on, Charlie Brandt that we had on, the man who cracked the Jimmy Hoffa murder case, Saul Pelosi, others. Folks, simply do this. Go to the website. It's right here on YouTube. You can see it right here on YouTube. Or very simply call for your next speaker. 305-396-2806. Let me give you that number one more time. 305-396-2806.
Our guest with us in this segment and through the next segment is Matt Bracken. His website is enemiesforeignanddomestic.com, and we're kind of running through a number of issues on current events and what's going on in our political world and in our social world. Let's start here, Matt. North Korea. We've seen a lot taking place in the last 7 days, 10 days with North Korea. You had another attempted missile launch that exploded after it, a ballistic missile exploded after it left the launch pad. Today, Trump said that he would be open to meeting Kim Jong-un to sit down and have a discussion with him. You have military movements from U.S. carriers and destroyers to Japanese destroyers now joining them, the U.S. destroyers. And you have North Korea continuing to threaten the United States. And this brings out the speculation in the media, and we hear a lot of different theories. One being, would it be possible or efficient to, and would we be able to successfully carry out a mission of assassinating Kim Jong-un, saving us from an all-out war with North Korea? What are your thoughts on that?
By an assassination, I would assume that you mean something that comes down from the sky, because we're certainly not going to be able to infiltrate any Americans in there. I would assume that his movements are more closely guarded than, say, Saddam Hussein's when he was running around with doubles. And I'm not even sure that an assassination would necessarily clinch the deal, because, maybe, 5% of the population that's tied to his regime, they're going to face Romanian term limits. When the day comes that they're thrown out, all of the people in those palaces are going to be murdered, by their own people. Right? Maybe not murdered isn't the right word. Retribution will be taken. So they're like the people around Saddam Hussein or the people around the Ceausescus. Their fate, their lives, depend on the survival of that regime. So I don't know that, just dropping a kinetic, some kind of a warhead down from the sky on him would even necessarily finish that. I would be open to that if it would work. But I think the real game that's going on right now is it's very high level realpolitik with And the real target isn't North Korea per se. It's really China. Trump is convincing the Chinese president that I'm serious and there could be a huge war. And if there's this, if this war happens, not only could there be radiation floating around your end of Asia, but there could be millions of North Korean refugees flooding into China. And if you don't want that, then help me to get rid of this guy, or at least to chill out his regime. So I think that the real pressure politic is on Beijing, not on Pyongyang. You know, what can you do with somebody who's a 28-year-old lunatic? But China, you know, China has been playing him against us, sort of like a good cop, bad cop. You know, China's been using North Korea for leverage. And we, you know, we'll get our crazy cousin, our crazy nephew, North Korea, in line, but we want this, this, and this. And what Trump has done is turned the tables and said, if you don't get North Korea in line, you're going to have the, you know, outbreak of war in the Korean Peninsula, and you're not going to like the consequences. I think that the real game is played at the level of, say, fuel deliveries. You know, we've heard that the coal ships from Korea have been stopped. You know, like, what does China need with coal? They've got plenty. You know, so they're basically subsidizing and keeping this regime afloat. So what's the real intel is, are those pipelines, the fuel going into North Korea, is that being turned off? Because that's the only way to shut that regime down, is cut off their fuel, I would suspect. I mean, the people are starving. You can't make them any more hungry. You know, so yeah. I think that short a total miscalculation by somebody, I think that we're just putting enough pressure on China to force China to get North Korea under control, because they can do it, because they control the you know, the fuel spigot and a lot of their food. But you know, the other thing I'd like to mention is sure, we've been, you know, we've got 25,000 troops in Korea, something like that. How many South Koreans are there? Everybody's seen that nighttime picture, the electrical disparity between North and South. I think that South Korea right now has far better electronics than we do. Their cities are like one big hot spot. You know, their communications are without parallel, except maybe in Japan. And why don't the South Koreans have an Iron Dome system? I mean, why are we sending our systems over there in 2017 when they're a fabulously wealthy country? They've got probably 100 times the economy of North Korea. And there are even, you know, using ground-based lasers or even methods to if not destroy, because their artillery shells are just kinetic, but you know, there are ways to just make them tumble in flight just by melting them. You would think that the South Koreans in 2017 would have just said, "Look, we have, like Israel, we need an Iron Dome in case something goes wrong, in case an American president makes a mistake. We can't rely on the Americans. We can't just say war will never happen." You know, why, if we all hear about the artillery and short-range rockets that can hit Seoul, why can they hit Seoul? You'd think that anything that flew over Seoul should be able to be zapped by a laser in 2017. They got the money, the technology, the brain power. Why are we sending missile systems to South Korea? It makes no sense to me. They should be exporting missile systems to us, given the technology they've got.
So what's the answer, though? I mean, is it that obvious? Now, or
it's obvious. Well, just based on the economy, look at the cars and the electronics that they sell. I mean, I didn't buy my flat screen from Chicago. It came from Korea. You know, they've obviously got the technology and the brain power to make world-class electronics. You know, there are South Korea, Taiwan, and Japan could make nuclear weapons in the next month. I have no doubt about it. I'm sure if they haven't done secret testing, they've done one of the big changes in the last 20 years is you don't need to build many prototypes anymore. You can model these things on computers, and then you just build one and test it. So I don't, you know, everybody would recognize that Japan, if they wanted to, could be a nuclear power, you know, in a few months. Why don't they have their own Iron Domes? Why are they relying on Uncle Sam? Well, nobody wants to spend money for defense, obviously. It's much more popular for politicians to run on bread and circuses than a Manhattan project to make a Korean Iron Dome so that no matter what they did in North Korea, nothing would get past the DMZ. We have lasers now that are small enough to put on airplanes, and the ones on the ground, you know, can stop a blast through a truck engine in like a millisecond. So I'm wondering why we still have a tripwire force. It's called a tripwire force because if a war happens, we're right back into the Korean War, which never officially ended. There was no Korean armistice. All it is a truce. So I'm just kind of disappointed in the Koreans for not manning up and making their own defense, given that they have world-class technology and brains, scientists. Why are they threatened by the Hermit Kingdom firing, 50-year-old artillery technology and 50-year-old Russian rockets? I mean, the short-range battlefield stuff, I mean. There shouldn't be a rocket leaving North Korea that makes it, a mile into South Korea. They should be zapped the second they cross the border. That's what we're working on. Why aren't they working on it?
Absolutely right. With your expertise and knowledge in battles, do you believe that we possess the, or between us and China, possess the capability? We hear often that, there could be an EMP-type nuclear device launched against the United States, and it would cripple our weapon systems. It would destroy our power grid. Is there a way, do we have the capabilities to do something similar with North Korea, launch cyber attacks and or EMP-type weapons to neutralize their weapon systems?
Maybe at the launch, at where they're testing major missile systems, like their ICBMs, their theater and intercontinental ballistic missiles, but their short-range missiles are nothing more than the ones that where you have the trucks with multiple rocket tubes. Those things are pretty dumb. They can even be working on tubes. There's nothing so transistorized and miniaturized and computerized that I think that we're going to be able to reliably just get, shut all them down. But, you mentioned the EMP. I really seriously doubt some people talk about them having one that is orbiting already. If they have a nuclear device, it probably is something like a Manhattan Project device that you can tow up, put a crane up in the air like out in New Mexico. But as far as miniaturizing it to put it into a satellite, I doubt it seriously, very seriously. So I think we have time on that. And I think that's why Trump is turning up the pressure now. You don't want to wait until they're testing until we have this out. If we're going to have it out, let's have it out before they can, hit continental United States with a nuke. So I think we're going to see a resolution of Korea this year.
Okay, that was going to be my question. How do you see this playing out? Because I don't think I've ever seen a time that I've gotten more people emailing me or messaging me saying, "Man, I'm really worried about this Korean situation." But you see this, if I'm getting this correctly, you're seeing that it would appear that President Trump knows the military things that we still hold the advantage, obviously, and that it's unlikely any EMP device could be sent via satellite or perhaps any other way. So you see some sort of political push agreement.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un and his family, his clique, they need to be assured of some kind of a safe way out. Like any cornered animal is going to fight to the death if they think that it's, that or, that there's nowhere to back up to. If China has to be able to guarantee him, and would he believe it, that, we'll give you some little Rhode Island, the nicest part of North Korea, and guarantee that you'll never be touched in there. It's doubtful that they would believe that because the North Koreans, once they were freed and a lot of the brainwashing came away, I think that they would demand some, down the road, they would demand a trial for the regime. You can't be running these death camps for 60 years, torture death camps. and not have the people come after you eventually. But he might be made to believe it, but I think that he needs to think that he has an exit and some kind of a guarantee that he won't be personally taken out. Because, you know, otherwise, if there's a miscalculation, obviously things could go right off the rails. I don't know if we would try anything kinetic. But on the other hand, you know, this is a situation where if we do have some kind of space weapons, you know, hyperkinetic penetrators, things like that, that maybe that we're not even talking about yet, you know, black programs, this might be the time to use them, particularly if they get Kim Jong-un and his closest generals at a demonstration somewhere out in the open, and then we find out what we can do from space with no warning time. Because the problem with most things is that they'll be able to, even with their technology, they can see our strike force coming in, and then they've got that time to, unleash on Seoul. And, so it's sort of a hostage situation. The crazy, the crazy lunatics down the street, you know, that live in a trailer and run a meth lab, they've also got a truck bomb that can blow up your mansion. You know, so how do you get rid of the crazy people down the street without your mansion getting blown up? Because they've got a dead man switch on it. And so it's a conundrum.
Got it.
But I think that Trump is different than any other president before, because I think that he's asking for ways to resolve this thing, as opposed to kick the can down the street like other presidents. I think his baseline is, let's resolve this thing now.
I like that. I like that. Yeah. Well, okay. Mr. Bracken, I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt there, but I kind of want to get to this as well. And folks, go to enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. It's linked off of our show description. Mr. Bracken is a fine writer, let me tell you. He's got a number of books, including the top three on his website, Enemies Foreign and Domestic, Domestic Enemies, and Foreign Enemies. Mr. Bracken, a couple of things in preparation for this evening I was looking at, and I was talking with John, program director and producer, and he said, do me a favor, look at the covers of Matt Bracken's books. And I'm thinking, okay. And I've seen your covers before, but I studied them a little bit. Your first book, Enemies Foreign and Domestic, the Gadsden flag, variation. But I was looking a little bit closer, domestic.
The Tea Party, by the way, way before the Tea Party came out.
Exactly. And you know, thank you for mentioning that as well. And then domestic enemies. I see an AR-15 over America with the Southwest broken off, and then foreign enemies and traitors, and AK-47 imposed over a multiply fractured United States. And John and I were talking about the foresight that you had in the book covers and the topics themselves. And then I have to say this, and then I'm going to turn it back to you. This kind of segues nicely into an article that you wrote for, I believe it was the Western Rifle Shooters Association, back in January 22nd or thereabouts of this year, America Under Siege, Civil War 2017, where you talk about the video by Trevor Loudon. We've all talked about it here. And then you consider, you state that you see January 2017 as a 1969 repeat in many ways. And then you go in to talk about the different groups and anarchists and such. And that kind of brings us to this May 1st point in history today. I said all that just to ask you, are you looking at, and I can't help but think this, we're looking at a civil war at our doorstep, or maybe we're already involved in the civil war, it just hasn't gone hot yet.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think that there are a lot of parallels to, say, the 1968 time frame. Obviously, we haven't seen high-profile assassinations. Partly that's due to, you know, better security, better surveillance techniques to, you know, find the shooters before they get into position, maybe. But I think that, like 1968, this Antifa thing is going to branch off, and they're going to be sort of it's going to transform from the in the 60s context, the Students for a Democratic Society, the SDS, the offshoot of that was the Weather Underground. They started making bombs. I think that we're going to see that, especially if Antifa starts getting pushback, you know, and they don't just control the streets the way they do in Europe. In Europe, the Antifa is virtually the brown shirts of the Brussels European Union. You know, if 100 Germans waving German flags saying less immigration go out on the street, they get the fire hoses and the tear gas. You know, not 1,000 Antifas beating them. You know, so the Antifas are basically the brown shirts of the globalists. And it's not to that extent in this country. And they're getting pushback. There are a lot of patriots. You just think about the tens of thousands of soldiers that have fought in the last 15 years. They're not going to watch their country flush down the toilet, you know, for a bunch of college communists. They're just not going to. So as the Antifas get pushed back, I think that the radicals among them are going to start making bombs. And the other prediction I have is that even probably more than a bomb, is that you have to get into the mind of the left or Islamic terrorists. These are both totalitarian ideologies that believe that the ends justify the means. So there are all's fair. There's no tactics off the table. If something's effective, you use it. So I would expect that there's going to be a shooting at an Antifa rally at Antifa, and it will be made to look like a conservative shooter did it, because it'll just be more effective than a bomb. It will, in one encompassing act, it'll be the assault rifle, and it'll be, you know, the gun culture shooting against the liberal demonstrators. And, you know, what we saw in Bosnia and dozens of other places, you know, these guys are willing to drop mortar rounds on their own if they can blame it on another group. You know, it's not that Antifa will go out and shoot their own cadre. It'll usually be like in the Russian Revolution context. You know, the Bolsheviks will shoot the cadets, but make it look like the Mensheviks did it. You know, you don't shoot directly into your own family. You kind of make it a three corner shot, so that you're just standing over on the side like Little Miss Innocent, while your two enemies go at each other. And it's a complete false flag. These false flags work. You know, they're very effective. Usually when dictators start a war, they start it with a false flag, like Hitler did, dressing up, was it Poles or Czechs at a radio station? Yeah, you know, false flag operations are extremely effective, particularly if you have a corrupt media that will promote the false narrative. And it would be perfect for them. This is sort of in line with my first novel, Enemies Foreign and Domestic, which is blamed on a right-wing militia guy shooting into a stadium when it's actually nothing like that. But false flags work, and I would expect that would be something to look to anticipate. Would be somebody doing a magazine dump, you know, 30 rounds rapid fire from a AK or an AR, you know, into a crowd of liberals with clues left pointing towards, you know, the right wing. That's something I would, it doesn't require bomb making technology. It doesn't require, you know, a lot of smarts. You know, it's harder and harder to send parcel bombs because everything is traced. They film everybody going into the post office, and they've got, the tracking on everything has a picture of it from start to finish with parcels. But a rifle into a crowd, I think that's very likely, and that could be the spark that starts civil war, or a high profile assassination would do it also. And think about it, there have also already been a couple of these kooks that have tried. There was a guy out at a Trump rally last summer, I think it was. He came all the way from Britain, jumped a fence at a rally, trying to grab a cop's gun. It was a lame excuse for an assassination attempt, but he was very, it showed the level of motivation. You know, the hate is out there. The extreme hate is out there. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, like in 1968, an assassination, which would overnight, you know, put 10 more degrees of heat underneath the boiling kettle that's our country right now.
And Mr. Bracken, what you described with the the you know, the false flag inside Antifa. You know, they have the media on their side. So right now we're seeing, you know, Berkeley is a great example where a number of conservative speakers or conservative events were going to be held. These Antifa protesters and rioters came, started the violence, and then we saw the news media turn around and blame the Trump supporters, Donald Trump, his rhetoric, and the Trump supporters for the violence. And I believe that you're right that, you know, you talked about the SDFs and the offshoot of the Weather Underground and how much more extreme the Weather Underground got, you know, bombing the Pentagon and police stations, and everybody knows who Bill Ayers is and Bernadine Dorn, you know, launched the political campaign of Barack Obama in their living room. And
well, they know them now, but in when these things were happening in the late 60s and early 70s, we still were under the, you know, the Walter Cronkite, Dan Rather, you know, one lying press paradigm, and that's gone now. So I would say that right now the left is losing the battle, the hearts and minds over this Antifa thing. You even have people like Elizabeth Warren saying that it's wrong to keep Ann Coulter from speaking. It's not because she likes Ann Coulter. It's because Elizabeth Warren is smart enough to realize they're losing the optics. They are looking like fascists. So, yeah.
And same thing with Bill Maher.
I don't think that's going to...
Bill Maher came out and said that, you know, that they're acting like a bunch of babies. And we're coming up against the break, Mr. Bracken. And folks, we're talking with Matt Bracken, his website, enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. There you can get his books, and you can see those on the screen.
Highly right recommend them. Talk about foresight. Those books, folks.
Deal with what's going on in our country
right
today.
Right,
yeah,
now.
And in our globe. Mr. Bracken is going to be with us for one more segment, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these short messages.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentations. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.